The following presentation is brought to you by the Pride of ODU, the official NIL collective of Old Dominion Athletics. Be a monarchist. Join the Pride. Monarch Nation, welcome to the Monarchist. I'm Mike. I'm here with Aaron and Justice. How are we doing today, fellas?
Awesome, from this kind of dingy hotel room in Denver, Colorado. It looks very 1970-ish.
Yeah, I'm doing good.
So that intro, it's kind of outdated now. It says the NIL Collective. I don't know. I was trying to think of the new correct term for it. Fans, you might have seen the news. The Pride of ODU has officially been absorbed by Old Dominion Athletics and the Athletic Foundation. I was trying to think of words like to better describe it. Revenue sharing group, fan membership group. I don't know what it is, so I didn't update it. I'm going to need to talk to someone at ODU to get some better advice on what they're calling the Pride of ODU nowadays. But the Pride of ODU still exists. We're still supporting it. Let's talk about some football, though, because this Thursday is a big one at SB Ballard Stadium. Old Dominion 6-3 host 6-3 Troy at 7:30 p.m. on the mothership ESPN. Not a great time for them to be having their dispute with YouTube TV, but hey, we're going to be at the stadium, and it's going to be an amazing day. I can't wait. We can go through it all. I don't know. Should we start with the football? Or all the festivities?
I'd say festivities.
Yeah, let's do that, because there's so many of them, and so many important ones.
All right, so first, at 2 o'clock, they're telling you to get there at 1:30 to line up and get set. So be there by 1:30. But 2 o'clock, SportsCenter will be taping live from campus on Kauffman Mall. Matthew Berry, who's the SportsCenter anchor, is calling the game, and he's been doing this throughout the country. It's kind of like a mini college game day for an hour. And it's an amazing opportunity for Old Dominion to show ESPN that this is a great campus to come visit if they're ever considering game day locations in the future or just more Thursday night games in the future.
Yep.
We need to pack Kauffman Mall and make sure we leave quite the impression on ESPN and their producers.
I want to see the signs, right? I want to see lots of signs, ODU signs, Colton Joseph signs, whatever you got to kind of help promote ODU, right? Like, make it like it's a game day.
Yeah, have you guys
game been hour.
Is that your little mini sign?
That's my sign, yeah. I know they need to be much more compelling and engaging and colorful, but I'm sure, Justice, you've already come up with a couple ideas.
Well, I think, if I'm not mistaken, isn't ODU having like a pre-party, if you will, to make signs? I think I saw that somewhere. I don't remember what time it was, but I thought they were doing something at Kauffman before the taping where fans could come and make signs.
I mean, that would be smart. Poster boards, markers, little glitter.
That's one of the nice things about game day, because they have the Home Depot little setups where they give you a sign and some markers to, you don't have to come prepared. You can just think of something on the spot. But the signs that we all remember at game day are ones made at home well before the start of the show. So hoping someone can, a couple fans can be creative and funny and bring something, some good light to this awesome day for Old Dominion and Old Dominion Athletics. So that's not the only thing going on. This the most important thing to me. I'm a little bit selfish, and Aaron, this is our Toys for Tots game. I tried to look up the numbers from last year recently, but I couldn't find them. I know we broke a record last year, and I'm ready to break another one this year.
We did. We broke a record for dollars collected, for toys collected, for bikes, scooters. You name it, there was a record set. Cool stuff that the military brought on for the kids to be able to see and experience. unfortunately, some of those things probably won't be there because of the shutdown that may or may not be ending here shortly. It seems like there's some good news there, but regardless, we have audibles called for collecting of toys and those sorts of things, and there's still a lot of opportunity to either go out to the store and buy some toys, or if you don't have the time to do that, you certainly can, we'll be able to donate there. Or if you follow our social media, I know, Mike, I think that I saw you put a link, at least on X. I haven't been on Facebook or any of the other places, but you certainly can do that ahead of time if you choose to.
Yeah, and I will be including it in David's article this week. I believe that'll go out tomorrow morning, or I think it'll go out Wednesday morning. In that will be a direct link if you want to donate online, or if you, if you want to donate online, that's where it'll be. And a very easy place to find it.
Yeah, and that's for the Hampton Roads Toys for Tots. Like we've said so many times before, every dollar, every toy stays in the 757. Supporting local families, future Monarchs. And I know you did it already online, Mike, but I just want to go ahead and give him a shout out. Robert Davis Jr., basketball, saw the post and has contributed. So, Rob, thank you, man. Appreciate you bringing some extra eyeballs to such a great cause of helping kids in the local area.
And if we're talking about shout outs, we need to shout out Harry McBrien, our friend. Marine Corps veteran and newly retired police officer. He CCs us on all these emails he has with the local military, local Toys for Tots, and Old Dominion. And it's crazy how much he's got going on. He has arranged flyovers for every game. He has arranged for parachuters. He's arranged for military tanks to be on campus for this event. He has arranged for a backup truck because of the shutdown to be on campus to deliver the toys to Toys for Tots. The guy is working his tail off to make sure our game days are better. This Toys for Tots toy drive is better. He's awesome. And we're so happy to be friends with him and have him be a part of our group. And thankful for all the work and efforts he's putting towards making this a success. He did share that while the shutdown might end before the game, the turnaround time to have a flyover might be too tight and likely will not lead to a flyover for this game. But I believe he has set up for a parachute group.
Yep. Yep. And they're going to have a dog. The dog's name is Chucky.
Chucky.
Yeah, we learned that today at the press conference.
Well, okay. This is Harry's doing. He also, yeah. This group also does. Apparently, pyrotechnics are related to how they jump into the stadium.
The dog is going to have its own pyrotechnics, or the humans?
I think the jumpers. Yeah,
the dog's going to be jumping with them, though. From what I understood today, I'm assuming like he's attached to a person. But
what kind of dog is he?
It's a Wasserhund.
Okay, I was hoping it wasn't like a dachshund or something. I don't know that would go well jumping out of a plane.
No, he's from the Netherlands, so.
I think that would actually be easier, Aaron, because it's so small.
Or more surface area. I don't know.
Well, no, he's on the chest of the dog's.
Oh,
the
good
chest
point.
Of,
okay, I thought this was not a tandem jump. I thought this dog was jumping on its own.
Well, no one's to pull the, you know. But yeah, Washington,
hey, I don't know.
I only know what that is because of the local brewery.
That's what I was gonna think.
German Waterhound. Nice. But yeah, we're not done with events for Thursday. So bring your toys or cash, whatever you want to do. There will be Marines walking around with ammo cans if you want to throw cash in there. You'll see the truck parked on 49th Street. So if you're not in the blue lot, go there to drop your toys off. If you are in the blue lot, come see us. We'll be collecting toys. We'll make sure they get to where they belong. And we just want to thank everyone who's supported this over the years and continues to support it because it's gotten bigger and better every year. And it's because of fans like you that have helped make it a success. We wouldn't be adding all these extra wrinkles every year if it wasn't for the fans coming out in droves and supporting this great charity, Toys for Tots. All right. Next in festivities, the drone show is back. This is the second one we've done at Old Dominion. Last year's was pretty cool. My favorite, I think, was the Big Blue.
Yeah, I think everybody's favorite, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I imagine the kids like the tanks and the military boats and all that, because that's pretty cool. I assume ODU Global is footing the bill for this again. It's a nice way to honor the military on Military Appreciation Week by shouting them out, because we are a military school, even if it's not directly. A lot of military at Old Dominion, and we're all appreciative of all the service members who either went to Old Dominion or have kids at Old Dominion. And this is that week to honor them. Veterans Week. Thank you all to the veterans. I can't wait for this football game, though. Is there any other festivities we're dropping out for?
Probably, but we'll remember them later.
I can't think of any.
All right. Well, with the game starting at 7:30, I believe that means the lots open at 3:30. If you're going to the Sports Center event, you can park at Chartway in the two garages there, or you can park on 43rd Street Garage, which is normally the yellow garage, I guess. Mm-hmm. You can park there for free. So you got three different garages as options for this game. No reason to not be there for the Sports Center event. I really can't wait to see how many people show up. And I hope I'm not disappointed.
I think it'll be a good turnout.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that we've all kind of hoped in a different scheme would ever happen in Old Dominion. The fact that we have something similar this year is pretty cool.
Amen.
All right. We're only 12 minutes in. Should we take a break for Afterglow? And then we could talk about the game. And then we can do a little break later for Fade Gary.
Sounds like a plan.
So, again, this Thursday, 7:30, ESPN, Troy comes to Norfolk to face the Monarchs at SB Ballard Stadium. The line opened at -9.5 for Old Dominion. It's moved up as high as -11.5. It's right now at -11 for the Monarchs. What are your initial, before we talk about the matchups, obviously, this is a chance for us to cross that six-win mark for the first time since 2016 when David Washington was leading this team.
Ricky's first winning season is on the line.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's huge. It's huge, especially in this point of his contract. It makes it in a year where there's so many job openings. It allows us this opportunity to extend Ricky with good feelings behind us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be interesting. Both teams are 6-3. Troy is kind of rolling. I mean, they just lost to A-State, but they had won, five games in a row, I think it was. So they're certainly going to be looking to get back on track. And historically, they've been a really strong team. So they're going to come in ready to play.
It's a huge game for them in terms of winning the Sun Belt, or winning the Sun Belt West, I should say. They're only one game behind Southern Miss. They still have Southern Miss on the schedule. So if they can keep that one game behind, and then, you know, they control their own fate, so to speak. They beat Southern Miss, they win the West. They lose to ODU on Thursday. They need help. They would need, you know, two losses.
Well, JMU does play Southern Miss, so
that helps.
That yeah. does help them a little bit, but yeah, they probably want to control their own destiny.
Yeah, so it's going to be a huge game, like for all involved, national TV, all the stuff, all the reasons.
And I mean, I wrote about it last week for the Pride of ODU's website or our website. We're going to have a lot of talented JUCO players on hand for this game and some commitments on campus. So for recruiting, this is huge. If we put, we're going to put on an awesome show, but we need to back it up with an awesome show on the field too.
And for the fans that are listening to this, these are not the JUCO recruits at the end of Bobby's time.
No, these guys got the impressive offers.
Like exactly. The staff is killing it when it comes to recruiting. I mean, you can see the product on the field this year from the junior college guys that they came in. Look at, everybody was so concerned about the receiving core. Look what, you know, what they've done. And the list, Mike, that you put out and with the commentary, it seems like it's taken it to another level.
I mean, it is. And I, one thing I need to credit. So if you read Harry's article today about the absorption of the Pride of ODU, there's a little paragraph that talks about Ron Moses and the work that he's doing. So Ron is the one that's helping get these contracts ready for the coaches and everyone to deliver to these athletes for RevShare. RevShare is obviously a huge part of recruiting now. It's why the Pride of ODU is being absorbed. It's such an important part of recruiting now. But the fact that we can have recruits on campus, they can meet with Ron, they can meet with our staff, they can get the full visit, they can leave knowing what the offer might be. It's probably a lot easier to close deals that way.
Yeah. But I was going to go back to your JUCO point. Like, it's not just this year. Look at Jerron Manning, right? Came from JUCO. I mean, there's dozens of success stories from the JUCO ranks. I know people often think, like, you know, when you're getting a JUCO player, it's like they think that has a negative connotation. But we've certainly seen, like, you know, at ODU, we've gotten some really, really good players. And I think that trend's going to increase even more with, you know, the NCAA ruling about, you know, JUCO not counting. We don't know if that's in the future, but still, like, if JUCO years don't count, I think you're going to see, like, that even being more of a big deal where guys go there and, you know, kind of put together some film so they can, you know, go to the next level.
The bottom line is we're getting kick-ass junior college recruits that are not only recruiting them, but they're coming and visiting. They're liking what they're seeing, and they're seeing the success. That's why, you know, guys like Ja'Cory and Trey come in and they have the success that they're having. And other guys, you know, the guys that are JUCOs this year are seeing that and go, oh, man, that's a place I can go and, you know, take my career to the next level, get developed. Whatever wasn't happening for me before, I can do it at Old Dominion.
Yeah, and if you haven't read the article, go. It's behind the shield. It's under recruiting. It lists every guy that's going to be visiting this week. And pay attention to the O-line because – they're doing some magic on the O-line with getting some of these guys and just getting them to campus is kind of a minor miracle because we're talking about like bringing in the number one rated center in the country. It's crazy to me because it's one of the hardest positions on the field to find. And we're not just bringing in like a top 25 center. We're bringing in the top JUCO center in the country just to visit. Like, it's incredible, and it has a chance to make next year a building block season instead of a rebuild. That potential's there. And I think it's what we need to continue building this fan base.
And you're talking with regards to the offensive line as a reload versus rebuild, just because of, like we talked about this year, we had so much continuity and guys sticking around, but those guys are graduating.
And apparently not all. I thought Skylar Grant was out of eligibility. I thought Woodsmo would be out of eligibility, but apparently they may be coming back.
Yeah, I think they have to apply for a waiver for Skylar, but should get approved.
Any way that we get an eighth year for Ryan?
I wouldn't count on it. All right, let's talk about this. Either way, awesome work being done by the recruiting staff led by Hunter Sims. Credit to them. Credit to Ron Moses. Great work with the recruiting efforts. But the recruiting, I don't think, would be as successful if not for the play on the field. So let's go back to focusing on that. Here is your overall matchup for Old Dominion and Troy. We have a strong defense. They have a strong defense. We have a strong O. They have a strong O. There's obviously some issues you can spot with Troy just by looking at this list. And the biggest one offensively is that pass blocking and run blocking. They're a better run blocking unit than we are per PFF, but they're a much worse pass blocking team than we are. And that opens up some opportunities for guys to have a big day.
Yeah, they run a lot of tight ends. Ricky talked about in the press conference today. Their personnel is going to look different than what you normally see in college football nowadays, right? Where you normally see the spread and 3-4 wide receivers. You know, they're going to have 2-3 tight ends in a game. Lots of pulling on in the run game. Like, their offense is really predicated around their running game. And they have two decent running backs in Meadows and Lovett.
So, quick question for you guys, and I think you may have just answered it, is do you know if these guys run this particular scheme because they like to be so run heavy? And the reason why I ask is I was watching some of the Steelers game last night, and right after Aaron Rodgers threw a pass that went off the receiver's hands for an interception, they kind of said, and this is why the Steelers are playing so much with their tight ends and multiple tight end sets, is because of the talent level. I guess they feel that their tight ends are more their strengths. Do you guys see that Troy has, you know, that strong of a tight end receiving group that's kind of dictating the style that they play, or more so that they just like to run the ball and playing more tight ends helps them do that?
I think it's the latter. Their tight ends aren't heavily utilized in the passing game. Ethan Connor is probably, from that standpoint, probably the one you look at. I think it's, to your point, it's the second. It's they want to run the ball, and they use the tight ends to help facilitate that.
Yeah, so Aaron, this is where we talk about 13 and 12 personnel.
There we go.
They want to run the ball. If you've watched what Chip Kelly's trying to do with the Raiders right now, it's not working. But – they have really good tight ends, but they're trying to run the ball. You're compacting the field. You're doing the exact opposite of what we're doing. But you're compacting the field. You're going to have a fight in a phone booth is what they used to call it. But they're going to be playing a lot between that tight end and that tackle position where they're going to try to run it down our throats. And if we're not strong up front, it could be a long day for us on the defensive side of the ball.
So riddle me this. So a team that plays a scheme that we do where we value fast, but oftentimes smaller, lighter kind of linebackers, how do you combat that?
It's more about making sure like you're following your assignment, right? Like, it's tougher, right? When their offensive linemen are pulling, and now you got offensive linemen pulling and blocking the linebackers, it's going to leave a lot for the safeties to have to clean up. And so,
yeah. You need the corners to get off their blocks, because the receivers are going to be blocking them, and they need to get off their blocks so they can help in the run game when they get outside. You need the safeties to come up and finish plays off, like Justice just said. This is going to be a game where the corners are going to have to help out more in the run game than ever before.
And the corners are going to have challenges too, like with the receivers. Their two main receivers are tall. Roman Mothershed, 6'4". Ra-Ra Thomas is 6'2". Ra-Ra Thomas played at Georgia and Mississippi State. You know, he's SEC caliber player. And so they're going to have their hands full with receivers just defending the pass. And to your point, they have to worry about the run as well.
Yeah. All right. Now let's go to the – since we're talking about Troy's O, we're going to compare them to our defense. Ra-Ra and Epps are their two highest rated receivers right now. Epps is playing out of the slot. Highest rated player on their offense is their running back, Meadows. Not the strongest right tackle or tight end blocking. If they run to the right side, Chris Trinidad could have some fun. He could have some a lot of fun as a pass rusher in this game. But Zion needs to be ready to tackle this week. And I think Steiger is going to be important as a safety here because I think they're going to want to run to the right side a lot. You got anything, Aaron?
Man, there's a lot of people on the screen. I'm just trying to. this is the opposite for me as, shit, what was that movie? Beautiful Mind? Where Russell Crowe's like, you know, all this stuff is seeing everything happen. Me, it's like going. Psh, psh, psh. But no, I agree. And I mean, I know that over the last few games, Bodrus has missed some time. Is he healthy right now? I haven't seen anything with regards to actually I don't even know. We don't call them injury reports, I don't think.
The availability report, I would assume, maybe came out today, right, with the Thursday.
I think it comes out
the initial report? It's 3 days prior.
So with you talking about the receivers having size, I mean, that's you know important for us if he's limited. Obviously, we've got next man up mentality, but it's going to be interesting.
I think we'll get it tomorrow at 10:30 a.m.
Yeah, that's okay. What it looks like. I was just going to say the key, I think, for Troy is the quarterback play, Tucker Kilcrease. They lost their starting quarterback, Goose Crowder, early in the season. He's a really good quarterback. But Tucker, he's very much had a roller coaster season. He had games where he's looked very terrible. I think of the Buffalo game where Tucker and Uiale alternated quarterback every other series, and they both looked terrible. And then, you know, you go forward a couple of games, like the Texas State game, where Tucker played a phenomenal game.
We now know that Texas State is a terrible defense and just like not a good team. They're now 0-5 in the Sun Belt in the much weaker West.
Yeah, Tucker's been, he's been on a downswing. Let's hope he doesn't find his upswing against us.
Yeah, with a team that wants to run, you know, run so much, I would imagine they probably find themselves in a lot of third and short, you know, kind of situations, or maybe not even so short, third and four, where you've got to pass the ball. And, I mean, he's got a sub 60% completion rating, and we were talking a little bit. Yeah, so, I mean, getting off the field, you know, making those third down stops. And we talked about it a little bit earlier. I don't want to jump ahead to your other PFF stuff here on how he does when he's pressured versus when he's not pressured. Oh, magic.
So the interesting thing that jumped out to me here is he's not blitzed 62.9% of the time. So 63% of the time. But all six of his turnover-worthy throws have come when he's not been blitzed.
Yeah, he's played better when he's blitzed.
That seems contrary to what you would expect to see.
Here's the thing. It shows how their pass blocking's not that great. So when they're kept clean, he's completing 69% of his passes. Under pressure, 37.7%. So he's under pressure almost one out of every three passes. Yep. And they're not blitzing that often.
Gotcha. They're not needing to. They're able to get pressure without blitzing.
Right.
Although in our scheme where we're playing three down linemen, are you able to generate consistently pressure without blitzing? Because normally we get creative and we bring pressure from different spots because of our scheme is a little bit different. So how's this play out?
We've seen it right with Trinidad. I think was it
last game coverage sacks. So that would be a coverage sack, Aaron. As long as our guys can keep on their men and Tucker's kind of doing his little toe tapping, we got a shot to get there.
Yeah.
But it's hard to cover a guy for an extended period of time.
Yeah.
So I think when you bring in that fourth guy, you just need to rotate it where he doesn't know where that fourth guy is coming from, and neither does the O-line. I don't think we really need to blitz per se. It might look like one if we're bringing Mac, but when you're only bringing four guys, it's not technically a blitz, right? It's just you're bringing four men. Yeah.
Okay.
You can see here his numbers aren't really terrific anywhere unless he's got a clean pocket. And if he's got a clean pocket, he's just as liable to throw a pick. This is the weirdest quarterback we've looked at this season, I think.
Yeah.
All right. The other part that's really important with Old Dominion defense is how does the quarterback run? And Kilcrease is not a bad runner statistically on paper, but he has struggled, as this shows you, in recent weeks running the ball. His highlight running the ball is probably South Alabama, where he ran the ball 19 times. This is true rushes, so this doesn't include sacks. He ran the ball 19 times against South Alabama for 95 yards, 5 yards per attempt, and one touchdown.
After getting hit 19 times, he probably didn't want to do that the rest of the season. I'm good.
Well, they really can't. Their quarterback situation isn't good behind them. That could be a situation where the staff said, hey, you need to cool it, buddy. We need you around.
I mean, they're still running him 9 to 10 times a game.
Yeah. I mean, are they those are designed runs? Do they count? Do they not count a scramble as a run?
No, those are scrambles.
So this is zone reads, scrambles, and then designed runs. So all three of those would be considered a run here. But 75 attempts. We were talking about this with Colton a few weeks ago about how many times he's been hit this year. Played in fewer games and been hit almost just as much as Colton has.
Gotcha. And these are all true runs. No sacks in these numbers.
No sacks.
Correct?
No sacks.
Okay. So then what sticks out to me is he's put the ball on the ground 3 times as well on non-sack type of hits.
Yeah. And most recently in their loss against Arkansas State. I also say, I don't think they've beaten a winning team this year, have they?
Maybe Buffalo. I think Buffalo's above 500.
South Alabama, Texas State, ULM. Do we count
MAC schools?
Is Louisiana Arkansas have a winning State? Record?
They lost Arkansas State.
Okay.
I think you're right. I don't know about – we won't count Buffalo. We don't know.
Yeah, we don't count MAC schools around here.
Yeah.
MAC is just as bad this year as Conference USA. It's not pretty up there.
I mean, Nichols might be able to run it.
But, I mean, we have, I think 2 wins against a team that has a winning record this year. So, it's not like we can really boast it much. We got Coastal and
– Hey, we could be biased. This is the Old Dominion podcast.
Yeah. But what I really want to point out here is obviously Buffalo, South Alabama, Texas State, or Buffalo and South Alabama, he ran the ball pretty well. Texas State, he ran the ball poorly, despite their poor defense. Louisiana Monroe, again, he didn't run the ball that well. And we saw that defense just recently. It's not a good defense. Not a great defense.
Yeah. To answer your question, Aaron, it looks like it's 33 design runs to 27 scramble runs for Tucker.
That just goes to show that he is getting a lot of pressure.
You're missing a handful of them because it doesn't equal 75.
It's fuzzy, yeah, man. Rounding error.
I was looking at this, the zone, the gap, the scramble runs.
I think at the end of the day, they prefer the running backs to be running than him.
Absolutely. And they have two good ones. I mean, Tay Meadows started off the year really, really hot. Was it the last game? Maybe he was injured. He didn't play the last game. Then Jordan Lovett had a really strong game. I want to say Jordan Lovett had over 100 yards in that game. So now it looked like Tay Meadows did play against, he missed their week 9 game. He did play against Arkansas State. He had 14 carries for 48 yards. But Lovett had a big game when Tay was out.
Yeah. All right. Let's move to our offense and their defense. Because everyone says this Troy defense is pretty legit.
They're underrated too. Like when you think about like defenses, no one ever talks about Troy, but they're pretty sneakily good.
Yeah. If we're looking at these corners, Aaron, where were you throwing the ball this week? If you're looking at these, you're looking at the two corners and then the inside corner.
I'm throwing at the inside corner, man. Daniel's getting it.
The other thing is, I like a deep ball this week on the right side of the field, wherever Poe is.
Throw to Poe.
Because if you can get him to pick up Trey, like in a zone where he has to pick up the man for Levine, Trey's going to the house.
That's the truth, man.
So Troy primarily plays zone this year. They're playing zone 81.5% of the time, man 18.5%.
So it seems like a matchup that should be pretty easy for us to get. Poe on any one of our three receivers.
You would think so. And that's not Odell Hodge. Thank goodness.
If you look at like the receiver production against Troy, on a per snap basis, the slot receivers are, you know, 2 to 3 times more productive than the outside guys.
Which is why we talked about that slot corner already, that inside corner.
Right.
Why we should be going after, is it Daniel Savannah or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. David Daniel Sisavon.
That's too many words. That's like Jean-Claude Van Damme.
He's been targeted 14 times and given up 10 receptions.
Oh, we definitely got to go there.
Average for 18.4 yards per attempt.
First down.
But that safety?
So look for Naeem to have a big day, in other words, right? Naeem's primarily out of the slot.
Like, and that Jordan, be a big game. That slot thing you were talking about. So it also is part of that is Jordan Stringer, the linebacker. Mm-hmm. Who has also struggled in pass coverage. He's got a 58.1 rating as a in coverage. 31 targets, 26 receptions.
He must be really good against the run then. To have his overall rating.
He's a good tackler.
Yeah.
But, yeah, him and Daniel, too many names. we need to target those guys in this passing game this week.
Yeah, Medina's a good D tackle too. Like, he's not a guy that like fills the stat sheet, but he's a guy like that eats up blocks.
I mean, most of their guys that play a lot are giving up over 70% of their targets. Colton, if he's on target this week, should have a big game, and this could look a lot like the Georgia Southern game last year,
the last Thursday night game that we had.
Yeah,
with drones.
Because if he's completing 70% of his passes, which is what they're averaging in coverage, they're averaging 70.8 and 11.3 yards per reception as a coverage unit.
It's a lot of first downs.
That's a lot of first downs. And we know if our guys get the ball in their hands, they're liable to run it to the house.
All three of them.
Yeah. So
I will say Steph and Zach are going to have their hands full with their defensive end guys. Between Elijah Davis, Donnie Smith, and Jamal Williams, that's 12 sacks on the year. Those guys get after it.
I mean, Donnie Smith and Jamal Williams, they have 11 together, right?
Yes. Davis only has one sack, but he has the most pressures. I think, and I'm pretty sure Troy leads the Sun Belt in sacks per game. I think it's 2.67 sacks per game.
They're also playing in the West, and that should not be understated.
Yeah.
You guys are taking me on a roller coaster of emotions. So high, then Justice bringing me down, and then Mike brings me right back to the top. Let's go.
I mean, they play solid. I mean, their MO is like kind of like what we saw from the Louisiana Monroe, except they got better. They have a better passing game. They want to run the ball and play good defense. That's kind of what they do.
They're 6-3 for a reason.
Yeah, I do think all things considered, we should win this game. Rather handily, but
I mean, Vegas thinks the same thing, right?
Yep.
They did not pass block very well against Arkansas State. That's their lowest pass blocking score on the season, and they were held to 10 points. Clearly, if we can get to the quarterback and make him feel uncomfortable, that's the key. That would go a long way to helping us win this game. Because the only other losses they have are against Clemson, which is on the road early in the season before Clemson fell apart. And then they hosted Memphis, and we all know how good Memphis is this year. They're one of the best G5 teams in the country.
Yeah.
So good that their coach is being recruited to coach elsewhere next year, likely Arkansas.
And but, not to be understated, Troy is – they're consistently – a very strong program.
Yeah. But we have had a lot of fun playing the Western teams over the years since we've joined the Sun Belt.
Yeah, a lot of success too, right? Like so. And we've had a lot of success with Ricky after a bye week.
Yep.
So
that's true.
Yeah, hopefully that pays dividends as well.
I mean, our last bye week was before Tech, right?
And last year, remember how? I don't think that was a bye week last year when we played that Thursday night game. But I mean, that was probably the best game we played all season last year. Was that?
That's
that game against Georgia Southern.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the most fun I've had in Ballard in a while. This year has added some more fun though. Yeah, I don't know. Like they got on a shootout with Texas State. Texas State's defense isn't good. They blew out Louisiana Monroe on the road. So did we. And then they kind of got in a shootout with Louisiana, winning 35-23. I don't know if Louisiana scored to make that closer in garbage time or not, but Louisiana is not a good team this year. They're to the point where they're starting fights at the end of games because they're so like everything's unraveling.
They're still at the top of the standings and good food, though.
Always. We love our Cajun brothers.
Absolutely. And I'm still milking that rod seasoning. That stuff is awesome.
Yeah, you don't need a whole lot of it. It's so much salt in there.
Oh, so much flavor.
But yeah, so wait, Texas State, South Alabama, Louisiana's 4-6, 3-3, ULM's 3-6. I don't know. I don't know. The West is just kind of ugly right now.
I mean, Lunch Winfield had a pretty big day against them in terms of yardage anyway. He had 23 carries for 139 yards when they played Louisiana.
And Lunch has been one of those guys. I mean, he's a really good athlete, but the playbook is pretty small with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. How are we feeling, guys?
I think it's going to be a win. I think all things considered, it's going to be a win. I think.
Hey, real quick. Before you say what you think is going to happen, do we want to give ours first?
Why don't we go to Fade Gary real quick? Yeah. We'll come back with our predictions and we'll close this thing out.
What's up, Monarch fans? Gary here with your Week 12 Fade Gary picks. We went 2-1 this past weekend, taking our overall record to 16-18-2. Looking ahead to Saturday, we're going to start with a 1 p.m. game, Oregon State at Tulsa. Tulsa is a 1.5-point underdog at home. We are taking the Golden Hurricanes. Oregon State just blew a 17-point lead to lose at home to Sam Houston State, the worst team in FBS. Second game we're going to take a look at, Maryland at Illinois. Illinois is a 14-point favorite, and we are going with the Fighting Illini. Maryland just lost at home to Rutgers. They've lost five straight. They appear to be in a tailspin, so we will take Illinois off the bye as two touchdown favorites. Final pick for this weekend, probably the best game of the weekend, Texas and Georgia going under 48.5. I like this all the way down to 45.5. You have two teams with great defenses, limited in what they can do on offense. I think this is going to be one of those like 17-13 low-scoring kind of games. Happy Veterans Day. Go Monarchs on Thursday, and good luck this weekend.
All right. Aaron, I know you have the shortest timeline, so I think you should kick us off on your predictions.
All right. Short and sweet. We're going to win. There's too many things in favor. All right. Thursday night games were awesome. After buys, Ricky's awesome. And we've never lost to a guy named Tucker. And that streak continues. ODU doesn't lose to guys named Tucker. Monarchs win, move to 7-3. Let's go.
I like it. Justice, what do you got?
I think we win 35-14. If we once again have a propensity to turn the ball over, I think we still win the game. But it might be like 35-28. But I think we're going to have a game with no turnovers. The guys are going to come out jacked. I know in today's press conference, Jaleel said, you know, the defense really, really wants to get a shutout. Kind of special teams hurt them the last game. They, in my opinion, they had a shutout. I don't know that they're going to get that this week. But if they can harass Tucker, turn him in a couple turnovers, and force Troy to be one-dimensional where they can't just run the ball as much as they want to, I think there's an outside shot we can get a shutout.
All right. I like it. I think that shutout comes in Thanksgiving weekend.
Against Georgia State. Well,
they don't look great. All right.
No, but they do have a good mobile quarterback, which always gives us fits.
Well, you got to do more than just run. All right. This team's too good at home. They're a different team at home. We haven't seen them lose a Ballard in a while, right, since last year. We got a lot of distractions on Thursday, though. That's going to be the biggest hurdle for us on Thursday, I think, is how do we deal with all these distractions? But I got faith. Ricky's pretty good about keeping his team insulated, especially on a game day. So, Old Dominion wins. I'm going to say it's closer than we expect. It's probably going to be 28-24. But it doesn't feel like that when we're in the stadium. Maybe they kick a late field goal or something. But we're in control of this game from beginning to end. Closer on the scoreboard than we would like. But Old Dominion wins. I'm hopeful that I'm wrong, and this is actually a blowout like last year. The potential is there, but I do respect this Troy team, their coaching staff, and their athletes. They're a good program. I hope to see a couple Troy fans. I don't know if we should expect that with how long of a travel it is with a weeknight game, but I'm hoping we can pack Ballard and put on a real show for the national television audience.
100%.
It's going to be an amazing day on Thursday. I hope everyone took extra time off so they could be there to enjoy it. I can't wait.
Bring your toys.
Bring your signs, the sports center. Yeah.
Bring a jacket. Night game.
Oh, yeah.
In the 40s. Cool. It's always a little chillier there. Me? Mike, my truck is at the airport. So when I fly in, no matter what it is, I'm coming straight there. But what I will say is I charged both battery packs in my truck. I've got my electric jacket. I'm ready to go. I might burst into flames, but it's both battery packs are fully charged, and I'm not taking any chances on being cold.
I like it. All right. Thanks for tuning in. Go Monarchs.
Go Monarchs.
Go Monarchs.
Thank you.